From Sacramento, the Bishop's Radio Hour with Bob Dunning on Relevant Radio, focusing on today's issues in the context of gospel values. Now, here's Bob.
That's me. Welcome to you on this beautiful day the Lord has made as we move through May and we head ever closer to the birthday of the Catholic Church, Pentecost Sunday. So looking forward to that very much. And Steve Patton joins us here in studio, Associate Director for Family and Respect Life Ministries. Steve, good morning.
Good morning, Bob.
Good to have you with us. A lot happening and a huge conference coming up to celebrate the 50th anniversary of Humanae Vitae.
Yes, and I'm happy to say that I'm not the person responsible for running this conference, you know, because pulling off a conference is a big, big deal. But anyway, this conference is going to be in Southern California in Ontario, which is a part of larger Metro Los Angeles, on the 50th anniversary of Humanae Vitae. And this is being hosted by the California Association of Natural Family Planning, which mm-hmm. is a nonprofit dedicated specifically to promoting the church's teaching on responsible parenthood. And Pope Paul VI's landmark encyclical Humanae Vitae issued right in the middle of the sexual revolution in 1968, which reaffirmed the church's teaching, mm-hmm. Forbidding any kind of artificial means of birth control. Now, 50 years later, the wisdom of it is really being proven all around us. So this will be a celebration of 50 years of this prophetic document.
I always find it wonderful when something that was controversial, almost a quote-unquote backward or something at the time, is mm-hmm. proven 50 years later.
Yeah.
Or in the case of the Bible, 2,000 years later, be so accurate.
Yeah, yeah. So, and Pope Paul VI in that document was merely reaffirming what had always been taught and believed in Christianity for 2,000 years. Now, it was
Not just in the
Catholic Church. I mean, it had been, of course, it was only the Catholic Church that was the church for, sure. For the first 1,000 years. And then, we ended up with, the division in Christianity, which led to the Eastern Orthodox and then the Protestant Reformation in the 16th century. But that lineage of teaching goes all the way back to the apostles teaching about the immorality of contraception. Mm-hmm. And that followed the divisions of the 11th century when the Eastern Orthodox went one way. There was still continuity in that teaching, mm-hmm. within Roman Catholicism, within the Eastern Orthodox, and then even among the Protestant reformers back sure. in the 16th century, they still maintained that teaching. It was universally considered immoral up until the 1930s. Mm-hmm. And there was the first break in that tradition by the Anglican Church, which taught that under certain limited circumstances, for a married couple, that they might be able to use, some forms of contraception.
Always limited. We heard that with Roe v. Wade.
Right.
Limited, rare, all these words say, once you kick that door open, it's hard to close it.
And that, indeed, that exception, introduced by the Anglicans in 1930, eventually became the rule. As one denomination after another over the course of the 20th century, flipped and changed their teaching, and leaving basically the Catholic Church standing alone as we entered into the 1960s, with the advent of the pill and the sexual revolution that the pill made possible. Sort of all eyes turning upon the Catholic Church as if to question, well, what about you? Are you guys gonna go the quote unquote reasonable, compassionate way of the rest of the world? And Pope Paul VI in July of 1968. Issued this, encyclical Humanae Vitae that said no, just basically, reaffirming what has always been the teaching of Christianity for 20 centuries, and the whole world just like outraged by that. How could we be so backwards? Blah blah blah. And but in that document, he said that when a society adopts a widespread use of contraception, you can expect several negative consequences to flow from that, including a general decline in morality. So he prophesied that. And what have we seen 50 years later? And another thing he prophesied was a general disrespect of men by women, or disrespect of women by men.
Well, and, it stands to reason when you have something that will prevent pregnancy, and then you have the pill that it will increase the number of times where quote unquote men say, well, okay, we don't have to even think about pregnancy or anything like that. And oh, by the way, if it quote unquote fails, step one in the door for abortion.
Mm-hmm. Well, as Pope Paul Saint John Paul II said that they're fruits of the same tree. I mean, sure. the contraception mentality that we can basically do violence to our fertility is philosophically and behaviorally connected to the same treatment of life itself.
They're both anti-child.
Yeah, yeah.
Once you decide, we really can't have a child. That would be a quote unquote tragedy or very mm-hmm. hard. So you go the birth control route, and for some reason that doesn't work, then, we weren't planning on an abortion, but there it is. There's the obvious. And that followed, 4 years later?
Right.
The Roe v. Wade.
So right.
4 or 5 years later.
So this is a conference that'll be celebrating the 50th anniversary of Humanae Vitae, and I want to give a website for anyone who wishes to see more information about the amazing lineup of speakers that's going to be at this conference. So it's www.celebratehv50.com. So that's for Celebrate Humanae Vitae on its 50th anniversary. So celebratehv50.com. And so this convention will be the conference itself is July 27th and 28th. Now, it's going to be preceded by a couple of different pre-conference events on July 25th and 26th. The 25th, that's going to be mostly for healthcare providers. It's an event known as the Institute, the International Institute for Restorative Reproductive Medicine. So that's a whole realm of medical science that's been developing around the use of NFP to help couples overcome problems, principally infertility, that are in conformity with Catholic teaching. So any physicians who might be interested or nurse practitioners might keep that pre-conference event in mind. Again, there's more information about that on the website, celebratehv50.com. And then on July 26th, that'll be a day specifically for clergy. So that'll cover all the concerns that priests and deacons have, in particular how to preach about the mm-hmm. church's teaching, mm-hmm. how to deal with it in the confessional, how to introduce this teaching into all dimensions of parish religious education, which, honestly, it's something that's sorely lacking in our church.
I would think even marriage prep would certainly be.
Certainly in marriage prep, yes. But it's not just limited to marriage prep and marriage enrichment. We tend to think that just for married couples that we need to introduce this teaching, but really for the church will, speaking of marriage prep, will divide marriage preparation into three different categories. It was called remote preparation, proximate preparation, and immediate preparation. Now, remote is that's when a child, as soon as the child emerges from the womb, he or she is being formed in mm-hmm. values mm-hmm. about what it means to be a man, what it means to be a woman, what it means to be married, as they're observing their own mother and father in the home. So they're already at that point being prepared for marriage, if that's what they end up choosing. So that's known as remote. Now, proximate marriage preparation, that is when a kid is entering into puberty, beginning to you know, realize their sexual identity in a really more pronounced way, and they're starting to think about, you know, moving toward permanent relationship and forming a family. So this will be, for example, youth groups, Life Teen, confirmation preparation, moments like that. This is when we really need to start talking in a more purposeful way about what marriage is really all about.
Which is why we have the father-son, mother-daughter programs.
Father-son and mother-daughter programs, which are great programs, but, you know, really only scratching the surface.
Sure.
You know, we need to get more into our, you know, like all of our classrooms and, preaching the good news about, you know, the beauty of sexuality and how it is, the fruitfulness of marriage is, you know, integral to the whole nature of the sacrament. So, and then, you know, moving into, you know, then what's known as immediate preparation, that's when a couple is actually engaged and now they're preparing to enter into the sacrament. So, anyway, we need to introduce this teaching, beautiful vision of what human sexuality is all about. We need to be introducing it in all kinds of different contexts. RCIA, for example.
Right.
We have a lot of couples or individuals coming into the church who are a little puzzled by, you know, what is this, the church's view on marriage and divorce and sex outside of marriage and even sex within marriage. You know, where's all that coming from? And so we need to be teaching about it within RCIA. Adult education. So it's just a lot of opportunities. That will be covered, like I said, in this Clergy Day on July 26th. Now we enter in, we're again talking about the Humani Vitae 50th Anniversary Conference in Los Angeles in July of this year. Information about it at celebratehv50.com. But then the main conference begins on July 27th and runs through to July 28th, including a lot of great lineup of speakers. Patrick Coffin, former host for Catholic Answers Live, he's written a book on natural family planning and the church's teaching. Professor Janet Smith, who's written extensively on this, gave the famous talk. Contraception, Why Not? Probably the most popular talk on the subject that I'm aware of. Archbishop Cordeleon from Archdiocese of San Francisco, George Weigel, and Christopher West. Many have heard of him, who's authored a lot of great literature on theology of the body.
George Weigel, of course, the great people biographer.
Yes. And I'll be there on running a panel of
I see your name
three
there.
Speakers.
That's
there.
Not the other Steve Patton.
So we'll be talking about discussion that I'll be leading will be about marriage preparation and how we can effectively introduce the church's teaching in that context. Dr. Tom Hilgers will be there. He's the founder of the Creighton Method of Natural Family Planning. And anyway, the list goes on and on and
I'm
on.
I'm counting six MDs alone on the list. And Pia de Seleni is somebody who I've worked with who's very, very sharp.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very good.
Yeah. So there probably will be 800 to 1,000 people at this convention. It's going to be a very impressive event, and I hope my family's going to be going down for it to turn it kind of into a, you know, a little bit of a family trip vacation, stay at Doubletree Hotel while we're down there. So kids can romp in the pool while, you know, daddy's attending the conference. But anybody who's involved in any kind of, marriage ministry or, youth ministry, anybody involved in healthcare, especially primary care, I think we'll find this to be a very interesting conference.
Oh, very, and it's in the middle of July. Ontario's a beautiful town, kind of out on the desert a little bit, but you can fly right into Ontario from Sacramento.
Yeah, so
you're not far away. And you know, with Humani Vitae, I mean, there was a lot of and the pill all happening. There was a lot of speculation that Paul VI was going to endorse the pill.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, didn't know him very well, but
yeah,
there was a certain expectation of that.
Right. And because of that expectation, there was that all the more uproar when
right.
when all he did when he affirmed that teaching. And it was interesting. There was a lot of the consternation in the United States anyway was kind of coming out of Catholic University of America in D.C., where you'd expect this is the sort of base for American Catholicism, and that there's just a lot of opposition flowing out of that. But now 50 years later, I just attended a symposium at Catholic University 50 years later, and the entire theology department is unified now in our belief that this absolutely was prophetic and authentic Catholic teaching that so it was sort of beautiful 50 years later to see it all see it all coming together. So hope everyone can would consider coming to this other conference. That one, that symposium that I attended was more of an academic in nature. I had a lot of PhD level people giving presentations on just anthropological and theological considerations associated with the church's teaching. This conference that we're talking about in Ontario is really more on the practical level, how this church teaching is lived out in the parish, and lived out in the family. Because to abide by the church's teaching that not to use contraception, not to resort to sterilization, it's challenging. The route of snuffing out your fertility is an apparently easier way to go. So we need to, if we're going to live in accord with this particular teaching, but really all the teachings of the church, just demanding.
Yeah, and there's out in the society in general, there's very little support for this position.
Yes. I mean, it's considered by and large weird by the world.
Head in the sand or backward or yeah.
Yeah. So, it's one thing for a teaching to be ignored or, just not practiced. It's quite another thing for a teaching to be vilified and considered, antiquated and
right.
Like I said, strange or weird, bizarre.
Yeah.
And,
we got smarter than that 100 years ago or 50 years ago, and you're kind of backward.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it dominates, medical practice and medical training
sure.
that, the way of contraception, it's just considered normal and healthy. That you're basically, you're anti-life, you're anti-healthy practices
right.
if you follow by
yeah, you don't believe in basic health care.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just this whole understanding of what is quote unquote safe sex, that in other words, that the possibility of a baby is something you've got to protect yourself against.
Right.
That babies don't come from sex is the common thing.
Yeah.
Babies come from unprotected sex.
Yeah. You hear that term unprotected sex, like, it's so contrary.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically saying sex is a bad thing,
mm-hmm.
and certainly unprotected sex. Oh my gosh!
No. I mean, sex. I just would qualify that sex is widely proliferating.
Sure.
It's we're in a sex drenched culture,
right?
But we're also in a love starved culture. With the divorce rate just continues to remain high, and fewer people wanting to get married at all.
In the first place, yeah.
It's just we're a throwaway society, as Pope Francis has described it, and so much of that flows from this contraceptive view of the human body mm-hmm. and of human fertility, human relationships. That our sexuality is something that can be manipulated, not only can be but should be,
right.
And this has consequences. And we, and that's largely lost on the world around us. So we've got a beautiful, life-saving, life-affirming message in the church's teaching that we need to proclaim.
Yeah, and we've had enormous advances since 1968 in NFP and in, you know, helping people have children, you know, where people that have struggled without going to all the artificial means.
Yeah.
A lot of people have worked very hard on that and have had a lot of success.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, it's valuable stuff.
Yeah. So, again, that'll be that and more at the Celebrate Humanae Vitae conference in Ontario this July 27th and 28th. CelebrateHV50.com. Again, I'm happy to say that I don't have to run this conference myself, but I'll be one of the many presenters at this conference. You know, you can check there about, you know, that website, CelebrateHV50.com, about where it's being held at the Doubletree by Hilton in Ontario. And, you know, the registration and, you know, payment information there as well. So, yeah, another great speaker there. I forgot to mention Dr. Ray Guarendi, who's a you know, very popular speaker on marriage and family, will be there.
I'm looking over the whole list, and there's a lot of people that we've been fortunate enough to have as guests on this program. And George Delgado, of course, who's sort of pioneered the RU-46 reversal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So a lot of very, very interesting people. And of course, George Weigel, what a treat.
Yeah.
Interviewed him a few times, and you just kind of sit there and listen.
Mm-hmm. You know, we'll mention, since we were just talking about the impact of contraception on our world, that I gave a talk some years ago called Why Contraception Matters. And in that talk, what I demonstrate is how the contraceptive revolution is associated with the abortion revolution and the divorce revolution. How, you know, abortion has been around for as long as sin's been around, and so is divorce. But those two social phenomena didn't, you know, mushroom as they have until contraception became, you know, widespread in the 60s.
Yeah.
So that's, and in that talk, that's what I develop, is that sister revolution concept that, you know, abortion, contraception, divorce, they all go together. So you can listen to that talk online for free at a website called One More Soul. So that's omsoul.com for onemoresoul.com or omsoul.com, just right there on the homepage. You can either listen to the talk or read the transcript of the talk in Spanish or in English. So very it's good. About an hour-long talk. And if you really want to understand more just the size and scope of this kind of social crisis that we're that we've been in since, you know, since the 60s, I'd suggest listening to that talk.
Very good. Very good, Steve. Thanks so much.
You're welcome, Bob.
Appreciate all you do. We will take a quick break. We'll be back with more on a Bishop's Hour right after this. The Bishop's Hour is brought to you by a grant from the good folks at the Catholic Store, located at 1928 Broadway in downtown Sacramento. It has articles for baptism, First Communion, confirmation, ordinations, weddings, and much, much more, plus Bibles, books, holy cards, and a variety of gifts. Give them a call, 916-457-1970, or visit them at 1928 Broadway right here in Sacramento. We're also brought to you by a generous grant from the Knights of Columbus Todd Cabral Agency, which provides guaranteed wealth creation for your family and your passion while maintaining the highest ethical standards in the industry. The Knights of Columbus Insurance, keeping Father McGivney's promise alive by providing peace of mind to Catholic families since 1882. To find an agent in your area, call our good friend Todd Cabral. Todd is at 916-997-9999. Bishop's Hour is also pleased to have underwriting support from Catherine Fisher, LCSW, providing therapy and mental health services from a Catholic perspective. Catherine knows that our Catholic faith is interwoven into every aspect of our lives and relationships. She offers counseling for individuals, couples, and families. You can call her at 916 214-4623 or go to cfisher@cathimail.com.
This is Lori Power, Associate Superintendent with the Catholic School Department. You are listening to the Bishop's Hour with Bob Dunning.
Thanks, Lori. Appreciate that. Appreciate all you do here for our great Catholic schools in the Diocese of Sacramento. We're joined by Mark Ross from the Black Catholic Council here in the Diocese of Sacramento. Mark, good morning.
Good morning, Bob. How are you?
Always good to have you, Mark.
Yeah. Praise be to God. Likewise, always good to be with you. Thank you.
We like seeing you in person, but we'll do it by phone.
Yeah, I'm busy these days, but I do want to get down there. We'll do it soon.
Very good. Very good. Well, busy is a good thing to be.
Yes, indeed. Indeed, it's a blessing. Yes, what I'm doing. I'm here working at the St. Patrick's Academy School. I'm the campus minister and also the coordinator for religious education at St. Rose. So.
Oh, very good.
My hands are full.
I can imagine.
Yes. It's a good work, though. Praise be to God.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. Yes, indeed. Well, tell us about the ministry.
Okay. Well, the Black Catholic Ministry was founded in 1986. And so by a group of members, the bishop asked the members to start a council and to advise the bishop on the needs of the Black Catholic community and also to work to evangelize the greater Catholic community of the diocese. And so we've been going along continuously since then. The focus is a little bit different now, slightly. We're not a council. We are a ministry. And so, but our focuses are the same. We are in conversation with the bishop often and the director of evangelization and catechesis, Kevin Staskow, and we do community work. We put on workshops, and we have our monthly gospel ministry, and it's possible, keep on praying, it's in the works, it may be expanding beyond that to more than monthly, but we put on our monthly gospel masses, and after the Mass, we have a little social, and throughout the year, we put on the Black History Month celebration and the Black Catholic History Month celebration. At the Black History Month celebration this year, it was also a send-off for Bishop Cotta, and we presented him with a very nice mural of that you've seen from the that was first displayed at the National Black Catholic Congress. And so we have our ears open to the spirit of our times, and we search to put in a Catholic contribution to what's going on. And so our meetings are monthly, every second Saturday of the month at 10 o'clock, from 10 to 12, at St. Rose, which is where we hold our masses. And so we're open to people coming. If one goes to our website at www.scd.org/BCM, they can find more information about the ministry, our goals, and when we meet. We also have a gospel choir, so if people are interested in joining that gospel choir practices regularly, and I can share more information for those that are interested. They can email me as well at BCM Chair, so Boycat Michael, or Black Catholic Ministry Chair, as a chair you sit in, at outlook.com.
Very good.
And so for any questions, but we have a choir that practices regularly. We have a pianist and an organist and a conga player, a guitarist, and we're looking for more singers.
Do they sing every Sunday?
No, we sing only at the gospel mass.
Yeah.
Right, which are the fourth Sunday of every month.
Right.
And so that is, in short, what we're doing, and quite a bit but for us. But we're looking for members. Everyone is welcome. So please, if one is interested in joining, please contact me, and we'll be happy to provide a seat at our monthly meeting. And a couple of things coming up, though, is our next Mass. I did say the fourth Saturday, so our next Mass is going to be May 26th at St. Rose, at St. Rose Catholic Church in Sacramento, not in Roseville. And that address is 5961 Franklin Boulevard in Sacramento.
Right.
The Masses begin at 5 p.m. And in July, we will have a guest priest, Father, we're planning, scheduled is Father J. Matthews. He is the rector of the Cathedral of Clark Christ the Light in the Diocese of Oakland.
Oh, wow.
And he's a great homilist, a great man. And so that's coming up in July. That will be July 28th. And we just had a guest homilist last week as well. Father Bart Landry is our regular homilist.
And right.
He's an extremely great homilist as well. But we picked good ones. And we had a Father George Quickly. He's a pastor of a St. Patrick's Church in Oakland. He's a Jesuit priest. And he's at this Jesuit School of Theology. And he's a character, and you could see a slapstick and all kinds of things, but very captivating, and always a joy to have him. He gave a great homily, very timely, and so praise be to God. We try to bring in good homilists, so if people want to hear the reflection on the Word of God in a different way, certainly come to the Mass. You're going to hear some great homilists. Our Masses are a little bit longer, but they're sure to keep you focused and captivated. So.
There's nothing the matter with a long Mass.
Pardon me?
There's nothing the matter with a long Mass.
Right. No, indeed. Yeah. No, no. And so nobody complains. And as I said, we have our little social afterwards. This is a great time for people to share, and we have all kinds of people stopping by. And
do you need people to bring food to the social?
Yes, we invite that. You can bring anything they like. We make sure that we have drinks available and at least some core items. Mm-hmm. But we welcome food from any culture, and so bring it along, and we'll eat it. I think a lot of people would enjoy it. Yeah, that's what we're doing. One of the things that also I'd like to share that we're working on, this is more of a preliminary exploratory stage, but we are certainly looking to organize small evangelization groups, multicultural, multilingual groups, and one of our next goals we'd like to pursue is to get out into the communities of people that are primarily underrepresented in the church, and we don't know who we'll encounter, so we'd like to go out and meet those people and come to them with resource sheets and give them an invitation to the different Mass opportunities in the church, and to stop and pray with people if they would like. So we're looking for people to join those committees, and so if anyone is interested in that, again, you can reach me at bcmchair@outlook.com. In my work with our home visits with St. Vincent de Paul, that's something that we often do, is we ask the families we visit if they'd like to pray. And so we'd like to get out there and bring the church to the people, and encounter them wherever they are, and let them know about that there's a diversity of people, so we'd like people to help join us, and we'll do trainings, and so we won't go out there unprepared, and I think God's going to bear great fruit from that. So pray for that, those in the audience, that we'll have people to bring in that harvest.
What's your biggest challenge leading this ministry?
The biggest challenge is we need more members.
Mm-hmm.
there are a lot of people who attend the masses, and people from all over the diocese, and we'd like to move those people from the audience to participation. There's a lot that we would like to do. There are great needs and a lot of untapped opportunities in our communities to share the gospel and to share the love of Jesus. And so that's the biggest challenge. It's just we have too few people, and some of our membership is taxed, and then some are as time goes on, illness comes along and different things like that. And so we certainly would like to have new members to enhance the energy of the ministry, people that can be connected and can stay with the ministry longer. Long-term would be very helpful, because we need to also look toward the future. And so that would be the biggest challenge. It's not one of people appreciating and enjoying the ministry and giving praise and really participating in the diversity. That's not the challenge. It's the membership. So again, our meeting dates are on our website, and please pray for the ministry. We'd like to do bigger things, as I said. For example, going out to the neighborhoods, and also addressing different social justice issues. And one of the things that I really want to encourage people, and we get sometimes some comments that surprise me, but certainly I can understand it in a way, and learning to understand it. But you know, some people say, well, I'm not African American, so can I join? Or mm-hmm. I don't want to interfere or things like that. And that could be farther from our intentions. And so we're definitely welcoming everyone. And really, to be frank, many of the issues that we want to address cannot be addressed without the entire community joining in with us.
Amen. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. None of us are on an island, are we?
No, definitely, definitely, and God calls us to that, and so it's interesting, I'll tell you, I've been I'll put it this way in another sense, and I'll speak of all the benefits. I've been a if you want to put it in certain terms, a minority in all my life in many circles, and so. I'll say you get to develop multicultural skills. You get to connect with the greater diaspora of the people of God. And I you can't be a loser from it. So I would really encourage people to step out. And one can be from any, we're not political. We are a group of people who I would say are it's a truth-centric group. So, if anyone, one thing I, when I talk with people in some close one-to-one encounters, it's, if we're centered on the teachings of the church and one is connected with the magisterium, then we can address from whatever point of view, the Holy Spirit will lead us to solutions. So if we come with the spirit of collaboration, as one body of Christ, then one can come from any perspective, and God's going to lead us to the godly way to approach an issue. And it doesn't have to do with politics. It has to do with being prophetic Christ-centered people. And when we do that, then we transform the world. So, and we bring that kingdom that God asked us to assist in ushering in. So that's what I'd say. You know, a lot of people have a different intrepidations and so forth as they see a community that might not be theirs, but we're part of the American fabric, and so and I think that's one comment that someone made about the Black Catholic ministry and its uniqueness, particularly regarding the gospel masses. It's as American as, I guess you can say, as apple pie, if you want to say that, and pizza. And so I think when we get together and immerse ourselves in our various diversities of our culture, and we could say in one sense American, but even the greater sense in our universality, our Catholicity, then, you know, God weaves fabrics together much like a quilt, and creates a beautiful quilt, a tapestry for us to spread that, I guess we'd say, unbroken garment out to the world.
Well, Mark, always a pleasure to have you on. Thanks for all you do. And
thank you.
We'll look forward to our paths crossing again soon.
Okay. All right. So our next Mass is this coming May 26th at 5 p.m. St. Rose Church. And feel free to contact me again, bcmchair@outlook.com. So look forward to speaking with people with new interest in the Black Catholic ministry. Everyone is welcome. Okay, thank you very much.
Hey, thanks,
Bob.
Mark.
Appreciate
God bless
your time. Thank you. Thank you, Gabe.
Appreciate it very much. That's Mark Ross, and just great to have him here running the Black Catholic ministry in the Diocese of Sacramento. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back with more on the Bishop's Hour right after this. This portion of the Bishop's Hour is brought to you by a grant from the St. Vincent de Paul Society. You can drop by and shop at their thrift store, 2275 Watt Avenue. It's open Mondays through Saturdays from 10 to 8 and Sundays from 11 to 6. They also accept donations at the store, furniture, appliances, clothing, books, and everyday household items. You can give them a call, 916-972-1212. We'd also like to thank the kind and dedicated folks at Associated Sound for all their help in keeping all our equipment running with their excellent sound assistant and technical expertise. When it comes to sound, Associated Sound is the only name you need to know. Give them a call. They're at 916-649-8040 or go online at associatedsound.com. Well, located in Citrus Heights, Christ the King has served Northern California in the Diocese of Sacramento for over 60 years. Bishop Soto refers to Christ the King as the jewel of the diocese, a wonderful retreat center. They have parish weekend retreats, individual spiritual direction, and a variety of other programs. You can give them a call, 916-725-4720. That's 916-725-4720. Or visit them at 6520 Van Maren Lane in Citrus Heights.
This is Bishop William K. Wiegand, the Bishop Emeritus of Sacramento, and you're listening to the Bishop's Hour with Bob Denning.
Thank you, Bishop Wiegand, and thanks for all you have done and continue to do for all of us in the Universal Church and here in the Diocese of Sacramento. Well, the Sacramento Classic is just around the corner. Priests versus Seminarians, fourth annual basketball game, Wednesday, May the 30th. The game starts at 7 o'clock. Doors open at 6:30, all at Christian Brothers High School Gym, 4315 Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard. It is always packed. Tickets are $15 adults, but if you have a group of six, you get in for $60, which is a huge discount, down to $10 a person. And students anywhere from a kindergarten through college are just $5. You can get tickets by going to SCD, that's Sacramento Catholic Diocese, scd.org/basketball, or you can call the Office of Priestly and Religious Vocations at 916-733-0258. Again, it's Wednesday, May the 30th at Christian Brothers High School on Martin Luther, 4315 Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Sacramento. Also, the Joy of the Gospel Social Ministry Specialization Series, the final Saturday will be this Saturday, May the 12th, featuring Ned DeLessie, the head of the California Catholic Conference, and Steve Patton here from the Diocese of Sacramento. They'll be discussing the gospel of life plus faith in the public square. All classes run from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. at St. Anthony's Parish Hall at 660 Florin Road here in Sacramento. You can contact Laura Lynn Solano. Laura Lynn is at 916-733-0153 or L Solano, S-O-L-A-N-O, L Solano at scd.org. Again, this Saturday at beginning at 10 a.m. at St. Anthony's Parish Hall, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. On Saturday, May the 12th. Also, Let Us Pray, an introduction to liturgy and worship. The next segment is tonight, Sacred Music, a Treasure of Inestimable Value, 6:30 to 8 p.m. at St. Peter and Paul Church. You can just show up. Or you can register by calling the church at 916-624-5827. The church is at 4450 Granite Drive in Rockland. It's all taught by our good friend James Cavanaugh, the director of the Office and of Worship and Prayer here in the Diocese of Sacramento. A wonderful, wonderful speaker. Will explain it in very easy-to-understand terms, if you will. Also, Session 6, the final session, will be May the 15th, next Tuesday, Living a Sacramental Life in a Secular World. Again, 6:30 to 8 p.m. tonight and next Tuesday night at Saints Peter and Paul Church on Granite Drive, 4450 Granite Drive in Rockland. Give the church a call, 916-624-5827, or just you can show up at the door. Camp Pandola is taking reservations for summer camps. Camp Pandola up in the beautiful Sierra Nevada foothills joins the Tahoe National Forest. It's the official youth ministry summer camp of the Diocese of Sacramento. It's a traditional summer camp. It's been with us for right around 60 years now. It's accredited by the American Camp Association, which means they adhere to over 300 stringent standards in the categories of health, safety, training, programming, and transportation. Their programs begin on June the 17th. Most of them are a week long, June 17 to 23. They have teen programs. They have different weekly themes. Some of them are all boys. Some of them are all girls. Some of them are co-ed. You can go to pandola.org to see what is available. The final one will run from July 29 to August the 4th, the Teen Week Survivor, and they really, really like that one. So go to pandola.org or give them a call, 916-733-0123. Gabe?
Hey, I wanted to remind everybody, if you haven't subscribed, to definitely subscribe, especially this week, because next week Relevant Radio will be doing their annual, well, not annual, their what is it called when you do it four times a year? Quadrennial?
Maybe that's every 4 years.
Yeah, they're four times
they're
a year.
They're quarterly.
There it is, quarterly. See, what a great financial mind I must be. They're quarterly pledge drive, so we will not be on the air on our nighttime broadcast at 9 o'clock next week. So,
on the radio, but we
on the radio. But we will be broadcasting
still
on our podcast and on our website. So if you haven't figured quite out how to listen to it on either one of those, it's a good time to do so, or else you're going to miss out on some guests next week.
Maybe the five best shows of the year.
They could be.
Could be.
They really could be. These could be the ones that get us the Marconi Award.
That's right.
This could be them. But I want to just kind of remind everybody how to do it and what how it works. Just if you have a smartphone, if you have an iPhone, it's even easier. And well, it is for me because I have an iPhone, so I can explain it much easier on an iPhone. You go to your podcast app that's on your iPhone. It's loaded on there when you get an iPhone, and you click on that. You hit the search bar and you search for Sacramento Bishop's Hour. And it comes up, and then you click on it, and then you click the little subscribe button right there. Can't miss it. Right next to the icon that says Sacramento Bishop's Hour. Click subscribe. It will show up on your phone every day. It won't bother you like a text message or an email where it pops up, and then you get a tone in the middle of a meeting or your phone vibrates like you have a text or something like that. It won't do that. It just will show up. So whenever you click on that app, there's a list of shows that you can listen to. You can pick and choose whatever day you want to hear. It doesn't make a difference. And you can, if you have Bluetooth in your car, you can hook it through your speakers. If you have an auxiliary cable, you can hook it through your speakers. So you can listen to it just like the radio, but it's, at your convenience. Same thing with Google Play. If you have a Google phone like a Samsung, same kind of deal. You just go to the podcast app, which is Google Play, and search for Bishop's Hour, Sacramento Bishop's Hour, and you subscribe. Same deal, not much different. And then if you really don't want to do either one of those things, or you like listening at home on your computer, you can listen to it with on our website, scd.org, and you just click on the little tab there. You scroll down a little bit past the news and events, and there's a little tab for Sacramento Bishop's Hour. You click on that, and there's a whole radio player right there. You hit the play button on, I think we keep at least 5 shows, back. So like today's show will be loaded, and then I think all the way up to like Wednesday of last week, maybe we'll be loaded. So you got, you have a chance to catch up if you've fallen behind on this, serialized radio show.
Very good. Very yeah. good. And then we'll be, the next week we will be back on at 9 PM as well. So, a lot of great ways to listen. Thanks, Gabe. Quo Vadis, where are you going? High school boys discernment retreat for boys ages 13 to 17. They'll learn about the priesthood and married life. There will be time for fellowship, games, hiking, camp activities, fishing, holy mass, adoration, and more. It's all going to take place over a 4-day period, August 2nd through the 5th at the Trinity Pines Catholic Center, 28,000 Rollins Lake Road in Colfax. The cost is $60 and includes room and meals for 3 nights and 4 days. They'd like you to register by the 16th of July. If the $60 is an issue, there will be scholarships available. It should be a wonderful, wonderful opportunity for your teenage son to hear about the various forms of vocation, priesthood, married life, etc., and really have a lot of fun with their peers as well. You can contact the Office of Vocations here at the Diocese of Sacramento, 916-733-0258, or give Maricela Smith send her an email. That's M is in Martha, M is in Maricela, msmith@scd.org. Well, Susan Money from 40 Days for Life joins us. Good morning, Susan.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Doing very, very well. Always doing better good when I hear your voice.
Aw, shucks. That's kind of you. Well, we're doing good out here at the sidewalk.
Very good.
Yep,
tell us
yep.
about it. Where's the sidewalk now?
Well, the sidewalk is at 2322 Butano Drive, off of Watt, and there is no sign on the building that says FPA for Family Planning Associates, but there is the numbers. It's at Country Club Medical Center, and then the address is on the front of the building. But even the people that are coming here to have an abortion, they will ask, is this where I'm going to have an abortion? It's like, I hope not. We'd love to talk with you before you do that. Some of them actually have talked, and then they said, you're right, I'm going to go home. So it's good that they don't have their name out here on front. Oh, dear. And today, just right now, there's a sweet woman who is standing near me. Her husband is in getting acupuncture. And she said, we've driven by and we've seen you out here. And she said, I was going to go to Winco, but I decided that I would just, if it's okay, I'd like to come and stand up for life while he's at getting his acupuncture. Isn't that sweet?
That is.
Yep. You never know where your recruits are going to come from.
That's true.
God has the plan.
He does. Sometimes we get impatient or questioning, which how can you get impatient or questioning with the Almighty? But we do it.
Well, he said, I've got broad shoulders, so you can go ahead and throw anything you want at me. And just remember that I love you. And that brings me comfort because I tend to be, I do struggle, not as much as I used to. I used to say, I'm waiting for an answer. That's not how you get an answer from God. Is he says, in my time, and I've learned that I can accept that now. It's like, you're right, Lord, I get it. In your time, and sometimes I'm looking for an immediate answer, and he's saying, you'll need to know about this for sure in about 7 months. So keep praying. And so with that, we do keep planning ahead, and so we're hoping that September 24th will be the fall 40 Days for Life opening mass, and we have a letter into the bishop to ask if by chance he would do a bilingual mass. We are going to have it at Our Lady of Guadalupe Church down in Sacramento, the heart of Sacramento.
711 T Street.
There you go. Thank you. I'm so glad you know. I need to memorize a new address. This is really hard stuff for me, Bob. I have to remember new stuff. And I'm forgetting more than I'm remembering. And it's a little frightening, but anyhow, I do know how to get to Butano, and that's good.
Yes.
That's where God keeps sending me. So. Anyhow, so things are moving along, and anytime anybody wants to come to the sidewalk, we are here on Tuesdays and Fridays in front of Butano from 8 until 11. And on Wednesdays, because they are closed here, we have a group that goes to 29th and B in front of Planned Parenthood. And so we're at least trying to attack this problem three times every week. And so far, so good. We had a save last week. We've had one save almost every week.
Boy, that's awesome. That is wonderful.
It is. So it makes a difference, my friends. People need to understand that, you know, even though you get a lot of flack for it, it's that one person who says, oh, that's how big the baby is. It's a, mm-hmm. And they see, oh, it is a baby. It's like, yes, it is a baby. And that was it. The man turned around and went back in and brought his girlfriend out, and she wasn't happy, but she will adjust to the thought. But he said, we can't do this. We can't tell our own little baby that it's already a baby. And he may not have even known that for sure when he came, Bob, but he saw the little fetal models and the little feet, the little precious feet. And that's when he turned around and went back inside. So it doesn't take a lot.
That's all great news, Susan.
It is.
We're up against the clock here, but it's always
Absolutely.
Good to hear your voice, and our prayers go with you, and we'll look forward to late September again.
Okay, that sounds wonderful.
Thanks,
take
Susan.
Care. Yeah. God bless.
God bless you, too. That's Susan Money, the director of 40 Days for Life here in the Diocese of Sacramento. That'll do it for us for today. Thanks for listening. God bless. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.
Sure by now, God, you would have reached down and wiped our tears away, stepped in and saved the day. But once again, I say amen, and it's still